love story. Anyone? Jonathan Estes, you're kind of a love story guy. What's your favorite love story?
Turner and Hooch.
A classic.
Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. Another classic. Cinderella. Can't go wrong with Disney. Aww. Frank Williams says he's married to his favorite love story. Was she even here to hear that? Yeah, yeah. We need somebody to tape that. Burn it off. Okay. So what is the greatest love story ever told? God so loved the world. The gospel. That's the ultimate love story. You know, that's what we're going to talk about tonight is love. While we're taking polls, though, just out of curiosity, what's your favorite hymn or Devo song about love? The greatest commands. Faithful love, just sing that. Jesus loves me. A common love. Love lifted me. Sometimes I picture myself being in the position of other loved ones that I've seen on their deathbed, and some of these songs that I wouldn't even necessarily pick to sing all the time, were I to hear those words, even Jesus loves me, they're just powerful songs, and sometimes we get too accustomed to hearing them and forget what they mean. So turn to Romans 12. That chapter is, you could divide it into three parts. In the beginning, we concentrate on this concept of not being conformed, but transformed. You know, we're making our bodies a living sacrifice, and we're transformed. And how do we transform ourselves? By the renewing of your mind. And we talk about gifts and using our unique gifts for a greater purpose together, because we are all members of one body. And then we talk about the marks of a true Christian. So in other words, what's it look like to be transformed? What are some qualities of someone who has renewed their mind? Here's some. And is it not fitting that the very first one is love, talking about love? And Daniel talked about this verse, that our love is supposed to be genuine without Daniel might have to answer. Hypocrisy. And John talked about abhorring or hating what is evil and holding fast to what is good. So then the first part of verse 10, we get back to loving one another with brotherly affection. So what's the mark of a true Christian? What is the mark of someone who has been transformed? What is the mark of someone who has renewed their mind? That they love one another with brotherly affection. What is the greatest of all commands? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, this is a command, love one another. So, you know, let's talk about this being a command. What did Jesus say in John 13? A new commandment that I give to you. Do you love one another? How are they going to know us? By our love. Daniel brought that up in his lesson. Francis Chan has a pretty good illustration in talking about how we view commandments sometimes, and how backwards that we get away with stuff like this in the church and nowhere else. So he says, if I tell my daughter, go clean your room, and she leaves, and she comes back a couple hours later and she says, I memorized what you told me. Well, that's not going to fly. That's not what that's about. If she says, well, I can say it in Greek, that's not impressive. If I told you to clean your room and you memorized that, well, but she and her friends are going to get together and talk about what it would look like to clean the room. Well, that's not good enough either. You know, a commandment to clean the room means to go clean the room. A commandment to love one another with brotherly love, with affection, to love one another like Christ has loved us is no different. And here we are, okay, so we're talking about it, and that's an important part of trying to figure out how we're going to live that out, but it cannot stop here, right? He wants us to go out and do that. So here's some other questions. The first one's a trick one. Is love an emotion? Sorry? I heard, yeah. So I don't know if that's nah or no, yeah. Okay, he's got a super deep voice, so not everybody probably heard that. But Steve says it is a decision, it's not an emotion, if we're talking about this kind of love. I told you it's a trick question because it all depends on what we're talking about. But it is a decision to love the unlovable like God's love for us. Let your agape be genuine. Let your agape be without hypocrisy. And love one another with brotherly love. So an emotion is something that comes to the surface as a reaction to the way you feel in the moment. But this kind of love is a decision. It's a lifestyle. It's a behavior. So without looking at your notes in the bottom of your Bible or on your phone, let's give me your best definitions of agape love. Loving your enemy. Very good. Treating people like you want to be treated. Doing what is best for them. Even if they're your enemy. Got any other? Loving them enough to want them to be saved. Being concerned for their soul. Loving their soul. Not expecting anything in return. Dying for somebody. Loving someone enough to sacrifice your life. Love your children, you'd die for them. I'm repeating this because not everybody can hear. Sorry if you heard. But, okay, now let's do what most people in here are dying to do. Google it on your phone and find your favorite definition, and let's shout those out. And I'm going to give you mine while you're looking that up. Okay, of the mouth, wide open, especially with surprise or wonder, as if your mouth is agape. So you can't use that one. Let's look up some more. Divine love, says Wikipedia. I looked on Wikipedia. It had more to say that was pretty spot on. Sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. Being devoted. Anybody got any real good ones they want to shout out? We probably have 100 devices with Google on it. Any other definitions? Sacrificial love that voluntarily suffers inconvenience, discomfort, and even death for the benefit of another without expecting anything in return. That kind of sums up lots of things that have already been said. Has to do with the mind. It's not simply an emotion which rises unbidden in our hearts. It is a principle by which we deliberately live. Say that again. I'm really picking that apart and maybe splitting hairs. Anybody have a comment on that? God's love is agape love. Yeah, so if you say God expects us to obey His commandments, I agree with that. And I don't know if we're really saying the same thing or not, but I interpret that to mean that if you love me like you should love me, you will follow my commandments. And again, I don't know that those are totally separate statements. Right. Agreed. Which we often call unconditional love, right? So agape love is unconditional love. He did, but because he loved him. Okay, Miskel. Yes, we punish our kids even though we love them. Speaking of kids, you know, Miskelis, Daltons, Highsmiths, others. Why do you adopt? What's that about? But why did you want a daughter? Well, you know, we could probably spend way too much time on this, but I'm going to make an argument that you did it because you loved her before you met her, just like all of us who plan children and adopt and do things because we love them before we ever meet them. And you had love to give, and you needed a daughter to give it, and you had love for somebody who didn't have parents. But I don't think it was selfish, because there was much more sacrificing to make that happen, and you made it happen out of love. We're all adopted, and we're adopted out of love. I mean, why did God create us in the first place? for the very same reason. He loved us before we were ever created. He wanted you to have the life you're having right now. He wanted you to have the joy you're having right now out of love. So let's take this a step further. It's a commandment, and it's not enough just to talk about love. And I think we can all agree on that. But let's look at it from the aspect of it being a mindset, because verse 10 says, love one another with brotherly affection, and we're supposed to treat each other in this building like we're family, like blood family. Now, that may mean certain things, you know, thinking about how I grew up with my brothers, but all the same, when it comes down to it, you'll die for your family, you'll die for your children. And, you know, do we have that kind of love in this room? I'm sure that most of us do. I see a comment brewing. No, that wasn't it. It's a big step. I also think it's very hard for us to fathom the scenario in which that's applicable, because of the peace that we live in this society. If we were in a war-torn country, and we could dream up all kinds of factors in that kind of lifestyle, our relationships would be different, and stuff like that might be more real. And you can watch documentaries about people who sacrifice their safety to save people they don't know, you know, in these war-torn countries, children that they don't know. Let's come at it at this angle. What is the fuel for love? And I guess let me at least narrow that down to, what is the fuel for loving everybody in this room like they were your real brother or sister? What's the fuel for that? Okay, I think that's spot on. You know, accepting the love of God, feeling that love of God, and that is the fuel that helps us, the whole story, helps us to love everyone else like we're supposed to love them. So what happens when that fuel is absent, and what does that look like, and how does that happen, and what's the anatomy of when the fuel is absent? Oh, say that again, I'm sorry. Oh, no doubt. You know, family, we're going to fight. But agape love is about being willing to sacrifice for that person anyway. You know, but you still love them. But when the... Sorry? Well, true enough. But what I'm asking is, when the fuel for godly, biblical, brotherly love is gone, what happens? What does that break down? What does that look like? You become selfish. You know, when you are not in God's love, you become very self-centered, critical.
Thank you.
Well, I was there on spring break and it wasn't like that. So I think, oh, I don't know. I'll take it however it is. I'll take it however it is. When they're not dwelling on Him and His Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in service, spending time with God, then the fuel for loving others goes out. I'm sorry? So there's hopelessness. And you're really hitting on some really powerful stuff, because when you're not good with God and you're not happy in His love and you're not happy in His family, and you're struggling, how are you going to be this light? So the whole point in all these comments touch on that is, in order for us to love each other right, it's got to start with you and God first. That's where it all comes from. That's where the source is. And when we start talking about, if we have time, our failings, then, we really got to go back to how we're viewing that first. But, you go back to John 13, and, it says that we are going to let the world know that we are His, because of the scriptures that we've memorized and because of all the things that we know. Nope. We're not going to impress the world that way. We're not going to show Jesus fundamentally in those ways. John says we're going to show it how? By our love. So if this is a primary way in which our light shines to the world, and they recognize that these people are transformed, these people are different, these people are a little weird, they're different from the rest of us, it's going to be because of our profound love for each other and for every other human. It has to be noticeable. You look in Acts chapter 2 through 4, and they're selling property. They're giving away money. Everything is God, so they give it to whoever needs it. It's not theirs. Hey, they just saw somebody rise from the dead. Hey, there's life after death. This is crazy. It's a revolution. This is a new way to view. This is a new world view. And now we understand what's important, and the masses of Christians are behaving in this very weird way. And Acts chapter 4 says they're of one soul, one heart, because of the love that they have for one another. That's very noticeable. Now that makes sense. They saw this powerful thing happen. This is such a critical moment in time. And they were there, and they saw it, and they were present, and they were a part of it. So they decided to meet once a week and sing a few songs and have a few traditions and this, that, and the other. Yeah, maybe, but that doesn't compute. That when the world sees that, they don't take notice the same way when the world sees you love another human like they were your own family member for no good reason, other than there's something special going on. That they take notice of. How do we fail in agape and phileo love in a way that puts our influence at risk? Because there's a lot of agape and phileo love in this building right now, and the people who aren't even here. If we made a list of all the ways in which we have been recipients of that kind of love from members here, we couldn't get through the list. So I know it's present. But in what ways are we failing? In what ways do we need to improve? In what ways can we have a brighter love in this community than we have right now? He was talking at the same time, so I did not hear you. Can you repeat that? Be a better Christian. We're going to have to expound on that, though, because I can't take that outside the building and really execute that. What concretely do we need to be doing better? Oh, you don't have to take him out. I was just joking. Little things, okay, like okay, there are things in your actions you can do every day to show love. You can open the door. You can help someone with their groceries. We're going to expound on that a minute. Oh, be inclusive, not exclusive. Yeah, you know, if the world looks at you and your clique and how much you love each other, okay, big whoop. But you give that same love to everybody, no matter who you're talking to. You're that person? Man, they see that special. That's something special. What are the basics? What are the fundamentals? We can talk about the fundamentals of any sport, but what are the fundamentals of being affectionate? Correct. Sharing. Okay, we teach that to the young ones. Oh, did you say caring? Oh, okay. Very good. Sharing and caring. How about smiling? Man, I catch myself walking around sometimes and I think, man, if I was looking at me, I would be just depressed just to see my face. And I just have to remember you hear these lessons. Sometimes all you got to do is smile and make yourself smile, and then you've just made yourself feel better. Well, you've also made everyone else feel better. Sharing hope and love. Now, words of encouragement. Say again. Just talking to them, yeah. Yeah, just including them, really. You know, recognizing they exist and being nice. You know, that's a fundamental principle of affectionate. You be kind and nice and gentle. And, you know, we just don't have to be sarcastic all the time. And, you know, serious in depressing ways all the time. You can just be nice to each other. And open doors and smile. You know, there's a lot more to talk about, but this passage is directly telling us to love one another like we're family. And we're talking about loving each other like we're family. And here we are, we're sitting, we're all together in one room, and we're family. You know, it's not exactly like my family gatherings, we just kind of stretch out across the couch and we're cutting up, making jokes, and catching up with one another, eating, and whatever else. But I want to take a couple of minutes to be a family tonight in the room. And, you know, you may not be a hugger, but I want to see hugs from those of you who are. I want some handshakes. I want some talking. Let's be a family for 2 or 3 minutes and try to be a family to somebody that you don't talk too much, or that you don't see much, or that you've never hugged before. You know, I'm going to hug Richard. It's obviously tempting to let this go on because this is gold right here. You know, here we are obeying the commandment. I wanted to obey the commandment in tonight's class. This is what he wanted us to do. But we've got to do it outside the walls, obviously. Some of us are probably lukewarm when it comes to loving one another. Some of us have probably let the weeds of the world choke us and choke the love out and let the selfishness in and to be exclusive and to be self-centered. We're not supposed to be that way. God doesn't want you to be that way. And it's no fun to be that way. You're supposed to have so much of His love in your heart that you can't help yourself. And, you know, if there is, you know, something that you know you need to change, whether it has to do with the love in your heart or not and how you're treating other people or not, if there's something you're not doing and you need to, if there's something that you're doing and you're not supposed to do, if you're missing the love, if you are not in tune with the love, if you're not letting your light shine, if you're not loving people like they're your own family, if you're not transformed and different than the world, if you haven't been baptized for the complete remission of your sins, if you need anything, you have an opportunity to come forward tonight as we stand and sing.